this is the last Sunday of our Back in the Day series. We thought it was a good way to celebrate homecoming. I want to ask you if you remember in school a phrase, a mnemonic device to help you remember something that maybe your, I don't know, first or second grade teacher was trying to teach you. And the phrase goes like this: my very excellent mother just served us 9 pizzas. Does anybody remember what we use this phrase or one very similar to it to remember? Think about the first letter of each word. My very excellent mother just served us 9 pizzas. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and
Pluto.
Because back in the day, Pluto was still a planet. It's not anymore. Don't know what happened to it. Actually, I do know what happened to it. We had 9 planets. Scientists started finding all these other Pluto-sized objects out there past Neptune. Some a little bigger, some smaller. And it started to make Pluto look like just a bunch of other stuff out there. And so they started wondering, well, we're going to have to add a whole bunch of hundreds more planets if Pluto's a planet. And so they went back and looked at the definition of planet, and they changed the definition of planet, and so Pluto was now out. So we went from mother serving us 9 pizzas to mother serving us nachos. We had to get rid of the pizza. My very excellent mother just served us nachos, is what the kids are learning in school today, or some phrase like it. The thing, though, is Pluto didn't actually change, did it? It's still out there. It's still going around the sun. Every 248 years, it makes one trip around the sun. Pluto didn't change at all. What changed? We did. Our perspective of Pluto changed. We literally changed the definition of planet. Pluto didn't change. Our perspective changed. Sometimes in life we can lose perspective. If you've ever watched a football game with me or played golf with me, you know how even preachers can lose perspective. Last weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, I was watching my 2 football games. West Virginia was playing, and I was so excited before the game, and I'm just watching them play, and they can't do anything. They normally score 40, 50 points. They scored like 10 the whole game. It was terrible. And I started thinking, these guys are garbage. Get them off the field. They don't deserve to be on the football field. That's how bad they were playing. My perspective of my alma mater's football team had changed in the course of about a 3-hour game, right? They went from being great, undefeated, we're going to take him on, we're going to have maybe go for the national championship, to by the end of the game, I don't want to watch him anymore. I turned TV off, didn't I, Joni? I was tired of it. My perspective had changed. I had lost some perspective. West Virginia hadn't gotten worse over the course of a week, at least not that much worse, right? But something changed as I watched them play a new team, and all of a sudden they looked differently to me, and I started thinking and speaking differently about them. And the same thing happened for the Carolina Panthers the next day. We're doing pretty well. I think we were about a 3-1 record last week, and you know, I've been kind of excited about Cam Newton this year. He's throwing his highest passing percentage of his career so far, and I just thought, finally, he's got a new offensive coach, putting things together. This is great. And after I watched that game, I wanted a new quarterback. There was moments where he looked like Superman, and then there was other moments where he looked like Blooperman. It was terrible. And so by the end of that game, I cut that off too. It was just garbage. And my perspective changed. And what you have to know about my perspective changing during a football game too is I have a little bit of a violent love affair with the TV. I'm not quiet. I let the announcers and the referees and the teammates, the folks on the team, know exactly how I feel about how they're playing. And my girls usually run away. I remember when Joy, Kate, and Nora were little, they ran into another room when they heard me watching the game. My perspective was completely gone when I watched these things. I've actually gotten a lot better at this over the years. It used to be even worse. Watch a Duke Carolina basketball game with me when Duke is losing. Woo! It's bad news. It's not that any of those teams got any better or worse. In fact, they probably both got better over the course of a week after all they were practicing and honing skills and putting in new plays, especially for that game. They were honing their craft. They were improving. The football players were learning new fundamental skills and getting better at their craft. But my perspective changed during those games. And I'm hoping that today the Panthers will change my perspective again and look a little bit better than last week. And I'm hoping that on Thursday night this week, when West Virginia plays Baylor, that my perspective will change on them and I'll feel a little bit better. Which reminds me that it's often important to regain perspective, especially when you've got a lot of negative things floating around your mind. And so I'm struggling with this question, how do we regain perspective in our lives? Now, if you Google "get some perspective" or something like that, Google will show you lots of different ideas about how you gain perspective. I'm not going to necessarily go where Google goes, but I'm going to go to the book of John in chapter 5 and look at a real quick story about how we can regain some perspective. And I actually shared much more about this story about a year ago at this time. You can go online to hoodmemorial.org and find that sermon about John 5. John 5 is a story about a paralyzed man who's sitting outside of a pool and is trying to get to the pool to be healed, right? It begins this way. In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate in the north city wall, is a pool with the Aramaic name Bethsaida. It had 5 covered porches, and a crowd of people who were sick, blind, and lame, and paralyzed sat there. You see, folks believed during this time that when the waters of this pool stirred, it meant an angel had come into the waters, and if you were the first person to get to that pool as the waters were stirring, that angel would heal you. And so everyone who was sitting outside of this particular pool tried to get to the water first. A certain man, Scripture says, was there who had been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, knowing that he had already been there a long time, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now Jesus is asking a question here. It's a good question. But it's not just any question. This is a perspective question. This man had been sitting here for a long time, and so Jesus asks in order to find out what this man was really there for. After all, you have to wonder why he couldn't get to the water first. Well, let's look at his answer. The sick man answered Jesus, "Sir, I don't have anyone who can put me in the water when it is stirred up." Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm Jesus or if I'm maybe a disciple who's around the room and hearing this, I'm like, well, then what are you doing here if you can't get there by yourself? And nobody's like, this is like the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing day after day and expecting something different, but the same thing keeps happening. The man continued saying, "When I'm trying to get to it, someone else has gotten in ahead of me." Now you can see the man's perspective in his answer. He's focused on the can't, on the isn't, on what's not working. He is stuck in the negative and stuck in the past. And I want you to look what Jesus does. Jesus said to him, Scripture says, "Get up! Pick up your mat and walk." Immediately, the man was well, and he picked up his mat and walked. Jesus does 2 things in this story that we see as a pattern in Scripture. We can see it over and over again in other stories. He changes the man's perspective by challenging his context and by inviting him to discover something new. Get up and walk. Don't get stuck in what isn't working, Jesus says. That is the past. Look at what is right here, right now in front of you. I'm Jesus and I say, get up and walk. The man does and he's healed. You need a new perspective? Then pay attention to your context, your real, true context, and discover, be willing to discover what is right in front of you. 3 weeks ago, we read the story of how the Israelites got manna. Y'all remember, by the way, anyone who was here, what does manna mean? Uh-oh, you didn't know there's a pop quiz on Sunday morning.
They should know this.
What does manna mean? Remember?
What is it?
That's literally what the word means. What is it? What is it, manna? That's what I just said, right? They complained, the Israelites. They complained about having it better in Egypt, where they were enslaved, than in the desert, where they were free. They complained, right? About being free. Thinking back to the past of the desert, God gave them manna as a kind of 40-year object lesson to change their perspective. To teach them to focus not on the past, but on the present provision of God. And we say it in the Lord's Prayer every week, our daily bread. It's a way that we continue to practice God's provision of manna. Give us this day our daily bread. God wanted to teach the Israelites to focus not on the past, but on God's present provision. Or, as I said a few weeks ago when we looked at the story in more depth, God wanted Israel to balance their daily greed with their daily need. 2 years into their 40-year school of manna, the Israelites are at it again in Numbers chapter 11. They're at it again complaining, looking back on their time in Egypt with nostalgia, not realizing they had everything they needed in the desert right there with them as God was guiding them and providing them manna every day. The story in Numbers 11 reads this way. This is around verse 2 or 3 or 4. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we used to eat in Egypt for nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is all dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." That's literally what the Scripture says. Sound like a bunch of whiny babies, don't they? Oh, those cucumbers and melons, those leeks. Really? Leeks? Onions? Garlic? That's what you're worried about? God has given you miraculous manna from heaven. Every day it comes down like clockwork, and you're complaining about onions and garlic and leeks? Come on, get a grip, right? But we do this too. We do this too. Oh, remember those 5-cent RC Colas and those moon pies. Oh, remember those beautiful old Mustangs, those amazing Cadillacs. How the streets were less crowded, the doctors would come and visit your home. Most stores were owned by local people who treated you the right way, not the way all these chains treat you who don't care about you. We had homemade food, not fast food. Life wasn't so expensive. Things seemed easier and simpler, less busy, less fragmented. Today's problems hadn't even been invented yet. Oh, back in the day, how we want those cucumbers and melons and garlic, all those leeks, they're so good. We're going to get to heaven someday, and we're going to look God in the eyes. And we're going to think, wow, wow, God. I was worried about onions and garlic, and you were giving me this? I think that's what heaven's going to be like. And God's going to look back at us, and God's going to say, well, yeah, that's pretty much it. And listen, I got some garlic and some onions for you too. But look around you. This is a taste of what I've been trying to give you down there. If you just received my love and my grace and my mercy, you could have had more of this right down there on earth. We want leeks and garlic. And God is overflowing God's love into our lives every moment of every day, offering us eternal life. And we complain about leeks and garlic. We look back with nostalgia. We remember the good of what was, and we want to go backwards. And here's the truth. We remember the good, But we sometimes forget the not so good. We need some context. Right? Just like Jesus gave the paralytic man some context, we need some context. You see, in the good old days, there were world wars. There was not just a recession, but there was a great, what? Depression. There was more bullying, more disease, higher mortality rates, thousands and thousands of fewer medical treatments. In fact, people died from things back in the day that we can cure with a little pill today. There was less ability back in the day to achieve a higher education. Back in the day, people of color couldn't vote. Women couldn't vote and had few, if any, aspirations of careers other than being at home. Back in the day, discrimination was legal. We can keep going with this list. It's interesting that when you take all this into account, all that I've said and all that I haven't said, that there's a question that emerges, I think, when we think about the good old days. The good old days for who? We talked about this some at prayer group and other places here around Hogan Warner Christian Church, and I see some of y'all smiling. Because you see, the good old days weren't good for everyone. Right? Good for me, maybe. But not good for people who looked or lived differently than me all the time. You see, like the Israelites, we were enslaved to lots of things back in the day. Some we knew about, some we hadn't even been made aware of yet. So here's another truth. What makes the good old days good is how you remember them. Your perspective. What makes them good to you is that you remember them with fondness and with nostalgia, because from a different perspective, back in the day might be just the same as today. Might have been better, might have been worse than today. Here's another truth. The phrase "back in the good old days" is actually pessimistic. Have you ever thought about that before? I know it feels good, and I say it too. Back in the good old days when Pluto was still a planet. You see, it's pessimistic because it fails to acknowledge the good of today. The good old days. Right? It says the good days are over. It suggests the good days are over. It suggests that the good has been lost and replaced by something else at the present moment that doesn't feel so good. And brothers and sisters, that is a lie. Here's another truth. There are some great things about the good old days. Love them. Wish I could have lived in some of those good old days. For some reasons, for other reasons, not so much. But there's also some great things about this day. Today is a good day. Two of my foster sons back in Charlotte will come home every day after school, Jamar and Kevin. They come in the door and they say, "Today was a good day." I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it's part of a song, but I just know I hear it all the time. Today was a good day. And they have a little bit of rhythm to it as they said it. Today was a good day. It's a reminder to find the good today. To look around and discover what is right in front of you. What is new and what is amazing in this moment that God is raining down upon you. If you will but see it and receive it. Maybe even eat it. From the day I got to Hood Memorial Christian Church, and I noticed my first time in here that there were no children. And some of y'all noticed that too, because I remember hearing some stories. Back in the day, we had all kinds of children and youth programs, and oh, it was great. It was great. You should have seen it. Ah, those were the good old days. Let me give you some perspective, some context, and hopefully help you discover something new. Two weeks ago, we're sitting here, and Joni and I looked out, and our children were coming in for communion right in the middle of our service, and they came in the door, and they kept coming in the door, and they kept coming in the door, and we looked around and we said, "Oh my gosh." And we counted and we did some numbers, and a third of our congregation 2 weeks ago was children under 10 years old. Amen. Praise God! Today is a good day. God is raining down manna from heaven right in front of us. Can you see it? That's our context now. Yeah, communion gets a little out of control sometimes. But a third of our congregation 2 weeks ago was kids under 10. Amen. It's not that the old days were bad and today is good. It's not that the old days were wonderful and today everything is going to pop. It's not that the old days were terrible and today is better. It's not that we need to say out with the old and in with the new. You know that I don't think that way around here. Both the old days and the today are good and they got some problems. Each day, as Jesus said, has problems of its own. The question is this: can you be grateful for both the good of the past and the good of the present? And can you learn from the problems of those old days and the problems of this day? If you cannot find the miraculous good of right now, then you have become like Israel, wandering and complaining through the desert, crying out for onions and garlic and leeks, longing for a time that on the surface looks better. But that time was really a time of enslavement to things that you can't even remember today. What if we stopped being blind to how we were enslaved back in the day? What if we opened our eyes and actually remembered the facts for all people? Not just you and your family, but for everyone. What if we recalled the struggle, the loss of life, the tragedies of back in the day? Keep some nostalgia for what was good and amazing and beautiful that you love. Keep that. But add to it some nostalgia for today. What if we look at today with nostalgia like we look at back in the day? After all, today is the last today you will ever have, right? You better make something of it. You better pick up that manna and that quail and share it and eat it and take in the provision that God is offering you right now and be grateful and celebrate and say praise God for today. Remember about 10 minutes ago when we sang "To God Be the Glory" and this organ was back in here after being gone for 3 months under repair? Praise God! Wasn't that a great 10 minutes ago? Amen! We got to learn to see with those kind of eyes. Folks, if we cannot find the manna today, then God needs to put us through a 40-year wilderness journey where we are forced to rely on God's manna with nothing else. If we can only look back and think those were the good old days and fail to see how today is a good new day, then we need to get into a 40-year school of perspective. If we cannot claim our context then and now and discover the amazing grace that God is offering to us right now, then we are truly enslaved. I want to leave you today with two verses. Take them home with you. Pray about them, reflect on them, consider them. The first is this from Ecclesiastes 7. I don't usually preach this way and just throw something at you, but that's today. "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For it is not from wisdom that you ask this." Oh man, that just stepped on my toes. There's great wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You want some advice? When you wonder why bad things happen to good people, go read Ecclesiastes 7. You want to know what to do during an election season when there are two sides with very different opinions? Go read Ecclesiastes 7. You want to know what to do when you hear that really bad joke and you're not sure whether you should laugh or cry? Go read Ecclesiastes 7. You want to know if you should read the comments of the Facebook page? Go read Ecclesiastes 7. You want to know if the way you smell will affect your reputation? Go read Ecclesiastes. Okay, I'll give you enough. It's going to be fun. Read it this week. Secondly, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old, for I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Today, Hood Memorial Christian Church is a new thing. It's not that we left anything behind. It's not that we don't care about and love the past. It's not that we've abandoned the good old days. It's that we've embraced them and we've loved them and we've helped them to push us into the good new days. To God be the glory. Let us be grateful for the manna God rained down back in the day. And let us find the manna that God is raining down right now. And grab hold of it. And fill our physical and our spiritual bellies. And become the kingdom that God wants us to be. As God continues to speak into your heart and into your life, come to the table and be filled yet again with the grace and the mercy and the love that God offers to you through bread and through a cup. Come and be filled. Whether you are weak in faith or strong in faith. Come whether you are a guest or whether you are a long time ago, back in the day, former member. Come and receive God's provision for today.